PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Voila! In view, a humble vaudevillian veteran, cast vicariously as both victim and villain by the vicissitudes of fate. This visage, no mere veneer of vanity, is a vestige of the vox populi, now vacant, vanished. However, this valorous visitation of a bygone vexation stands vivified and has vowed to vanquish these venal and virulent vermin, vanguarding vice and vouchsafing the violently vicious and voracious violation of volition. The only verdict is vengeance. A vendetta held as a votive, not in vain, for the value and veracity of such shall one day vindicate the vigilant and the virtuous. Verily, this vicious swaz of verbiage veers most verbose, so let me simply add that it's my very good honor to meet you, and you may call me V.
We're in the boredom-killing business, and when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network?
We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniac. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh, what a warm welcome. Thank you so much, everyone. I can feel the adulation through your phones, your computers, on Twitter people, your passenger pigeons. How are people listening to podcasts these days? I have no idea. Welcome to episode 252 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. I got your threat update, everyone. Listen closely. This is important. Your current threat level is ivory. Current threat level is ivory. Your friends are weak. With me is my friend, Drew Stakonburn.
What up, dude?
Dude, how you doing, dude?
Dude.
How's your week been? Good?
It's been.
House hunting? Finding some properties around town?
I found a spot like 100 yards from here.
What? Get out of here, man. You're crazy. I don't know. You can't get away.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I really
like this part of town.
It's a good part of town. And joining us in this part of town, first-time guest, very excited to have him here, stand-up comedian and some sort of blood relation on a tree somewhere, I know it is, Marcus Crespo is here.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, dude. How you doing, Marcus?
Doing fantastic.
It's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I know, it's like we've been, you know, friends on, quote, friends on Facebook, however that works. They should really drop the friend moniker, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like connections, we're networking, I don't know what we are, but now we're friends.
Yeah, it's weird though on Facebook. Like I met someone I was Facebook friends with for 4 years.
Really?
I finally met them.
Really?
Yeah.
See, isn't that weird?
That is weird. That's weird.
That's a strange. This is a weird age we're living. But now we can connect. Now Crespos can connect. I'm actually friends with a few other Crespos from like other parts. I don't know who. There's a Sean Crespo. I don't know. He found me.
Yeah.
There's like Christopher Crespo in New York who friended me, and I had to like, we're still quote friends, but I had to like mute him or hide him because I kept seeing his name popping over my feed. It's like, this is throwing me off. I ain't like this stuff.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was weird. Actually, in the school I went to in Staten Island, fourth grade, I went to the school for half a year. There was another kid named Chris Crespo. One grade below me. Yeah. I was in fourth grade. He was in third grade. And then when I was in high school, I go out of town. I think I came here for a week. It was like Christmas break. I go back up, and everyone's like, "What happened? Are you okay?" I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" It's like, I saw on the paper, it said Chris Crespo got arrested for stabbing some dude in a park. I'm like, "What? I was in Florida, man. I got an alibi. I was out of state." So I think it was that other kid, man.
The other Chris Crespo?
So what I'm trying to say is Crespos are troublemakers. You staying out of trouble, Marcus? Or?
Trying to.
I don't know. I see you crisscrossing the state a lot, doing your stand-up comedy, man.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to get into trouble if you're not careful.
I've gotten in less trouble doing comedy.
Have you really?
Yeah, well, because my other jobs, I used to get into it. I need to get into it.
I remember I heard this on Tom and Dan. We're not going to revisit all this, but you were a mall cop for a while.
Yeah.
Got a genuine observe and report over here. Did you ever see
it? It was more observe and report than it was than Paul Blart,
right?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes, dude. Yeah, so you've got some experiences to pull from for your comedy. I did see you do comedy once. I didn't introduce myself because it was a crazy night. Election night. When you were doing the tumbleweed, a Ross Tumbleweed show at Frankenstein's downtown, which is now a food hall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the sound was all weird. Yeah. And
I actually just went out there to watch, and he put me on the show.
And he threw you in there?
Yeah.
You were one of the, I saw like four people. Do you remember that night? You were there. Election night.
Oh, yeah, we were there.
Welcome to the show. How's it going? We were there, and he did comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The only joke I remember of the night was one of your jokes. Where you said, I don't even remember the exact setup, but you said in reference to like dating women or whatever, that you were like the four tourists of men or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I'm the four tourists of dudes.
And
yeah.
I'm the dudes. I was like, oh my God, I guess because my family had a four tourists in the 90s. I was like, oh my God, that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And obviously, the joke stuck with me all this time later. That's I don't remember any of the other jokes from that night. And then it was a weird night because then over the comedy, there are all these TVs where it's like, yeah. Oh, more and more states are going red.
No, oh, it was a bummer night.
What yeah. a bummer.
I could have had the best set ever, and it would have,
and it would have been all yeah. like everyone's just looking at these TVs like, God damn it, this is terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
So, but anyway, I was there. We didn't meet, but you're here now.
Nice.
We did it a year later, actually.
Wow,
that's crazy. Oh, time flies. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, that, Jesus Christ,
that's fucked up. Actually, that it took so long. So, Marcus, you're here. Welcome to the Crespediso family.
Heck yeah.
And then
it's awesome.
We gotta check out
La Familia.
You ever doing like family tree shit, see what's going on?
I wouldn't doubt we're some weird distant
it's
relative.
It's a small island, yeah. man. Crespo yeah. is like the 84th most common last name there, so yeah. it's not that common, but you know, there's a lot yeah. of Crespos there. You know, in the 50s, a Crespo died. Puerto Rican nationalist. Four nationalists were killed one day in the 50s during a demonstration. One of them was a Crespo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Aha.
That's awesome.
Check it out, man.
I'm going to be doing like Crespo research.
You got to do some Crespo. Who knows, man? You might have some Macheteros in your blood. The FBI might be like looking for your...
Oh, no.
some distance of yours. All right, guys. We're not just here for a family reunion. We're here to talk about movies. It's nice. Episode 252. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And we are going to start with the streaming pick of the week. So here's that intro.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, streaming Pick of the Week time. Drewster Cogburn cues up the super complicated Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1, the updated one. We put money into this one. Look at all that money we put into it.
So much money.
Before it was, ugh, and now it's like, whoa.
We had to take out a small business loan just for that.
We did. It's ridiculous. Still got to pay it back. It's very embarrassing. But right. We are here. Marcus just used it. He pulled out a movie. Here we go. Let us know what is this week's Netflix pick of the week or streaming pick of the week.
It is Death Sentence.
Oh, actually, this is perfect. Oh my goodness, perfect timing for this. Because Death Wish is coming out. Is that a 2017 movie, Death Wish? Do you know, Drew? We've seen the trailer a bunch of times. Did it always just say coming soon? It may be early 2018. So they're remaking Death Wish.
Really?
Yes. Eli Roth, the dude who did Cabin Fever.
Oh, it's going to be gory.
Exactly. It's going to be brutal,
is
right?
Is there a year on that one?
Death Sentence,
mm-hmm.
2007, 2008, with Kevin Bacon.
Okay, it's 2007 one, to make sure.
Okay,
there's one from 1968.
Yes, there are a couple movies called that. It's kind of a generic title, Death Sentence. Okay, so yeah, track this one. Death Wish gets made in the 70s, right? It's written, it's a book, very popular book. Death Wish, the movie, gets made very... if you're going to throw it into right-wing, left-wing politics, which you can, it's a very right-wing movie where a guy, the government, the bureaucracy, i.e. the cops, unable to bring justice to the people who killed his wife and raped his daughter. So, what's his name? Brosnan. He goes
Charles
out...
Bronson.
Charles Bronson, thank you. What the fuck? Charles Bronson. I brain farted on that one. Genghis Khan-looking dude.
Yeah.
He is part Mongolian, that's why he looks like Genghis Khan. Yeah. He takes justice in his own hands, goes out with a gun, starts blowing away motherfuckers. Jeff Goldblum's in that movie, in the original.
Wasn't he a thug or something?
Yeah, he's one of the thugs. Yeah.
In the subway, right?
He's like, don't kill me. And then, in the subway. So, and then they make a whole, then they make what, five of those, six of those, something like that. Yeah. And the guy who wrote the book, after writing the book and seeing the successful of the book, and then seeing the movies and the way the movies distilled it down to even a much more simpler story, he came to a point where he was like, I don't agree with my original book anymore. I don't think people should just go out there and take vengeance and then take satisfaction in it in a way that not only did the character, but then by extension, audiences.
Yeah.
So he wrote a book called Death Sentence, which is the exact same setup. A father, a husband and a father, he comes across some thugs, you know, some shit goes bad, and then they take revenge, killing his wife and raping his daughter. And so he's like, I got it. And then leaving him for dead, but he survives. He's like, oh, I got to go get revenge, right? So then he kills someone. But instead of that being, yay, at the end of the day, yay, they're coming back for their revenge. It's revenge upon revenge upon revenge upon revenge. To the point where he's like, I just have to kill everyone in the process, probably what we've started. Yeah. James Wan, the guy who directed the original Saw, and who did Fast and the Furious 7, and now he's doing the Aquaman movie, he directed this movie, Death, like the answer to Death Wish, written by the same guy, where actually this is not a great idea. So it's an intense movie, and you can actually, if you want, could do a Fast and Furious movie, because there's some car stuff, there's some big stunts, some big camera work. It's really cool.
It shakes it out.
And then it's Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon being a badass, too. Yeah. At one point, he has a terrible haircut. There's one terrible scene, very campy. He's, like, sitting at his table, and he's putting together his weapons, and he's got a horrible, like, and the music's like, jin. It's pretty cheesy, but... Hmm. Well, it's a fun movie. Drew, I think we saw this in theaters. You remember it, Drew?
I can't remember. I don't remember seeing it in theaters, but I do remember seeing it either on TV, like on HBO or something.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is the one where at the end, Kevin Bacon's got a weird fucked up haircut.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, because he was, got out of the hospital. So they do the thing where they got to shave part of your head so they can do like...
Oh, put the little thing in your
head.
They
get the stitches or the staples or whatever, and then he doesn't bother fixing it. He just goes out.
Yeah.
He may even like take scissors and fuck it up even more. And he's like, now I'm going to go get my...
I'm super crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm going to go get my triple revenge at that point, wherever in the cycle of the right. It's a very interesting movie.
It's fun.
And quite unknown. It's perfect. For a pick of the week. And with the Death Wish remake coming out, here we go. Let's see if the Death Wish remake is smart about it, or if they just do straight up, it's cool that the white guy's going out there blowing away the black dudes. Because that's what he's doing. But then he's also, like, protecting the black kids. They even show in the trailer, he's, like, talking to a kid in the hospital. We'll talk about that movie when it gets here. All right, here we go. Let's get ready for the box office recap here. And here we go. Box office recap time. We talking about all them dollar bills. Picture them falling from the ceiling. That's what this music is about. Yes, exactly.
It's slow motion.
Yes. We're on top. And it's coins that are like rotating slowly. We see our faces on both sides of
gold,
the coins.
Gold flakes floating in the air.
Yes. That's,
all sparkly.
You got a picture that way.
Truffle oil.
Exactly.
Everything just glistening in gross truffle oil. Drew Chicago, we got to start our box office top five recap with...
Number five.
Which is...
Geostorm.
Made
$3 million. Total 28.
$28 million worth of people went and saw Geostorm?
Over the last three weeks? Yeah.
Almost $10 million when you have... Damn, you know, people will see a disaster movie.
Yeah. Geostorm.
You throw some giant ice cubes at a bus and people, they go see it.
Maybe or freeze them. No, they're throwing frozen planes from the sky at cities. That's what's going on.
Yeah, but they also showed it in the trailer. So yes. It's like, come on, man. Gerard Butler, when are we gonna stop giving this guy movies?
Apparently after this cop movie where he plays a cop, but they're bad guy cops.
Are they
good guy cops?
It looks so generic. I don't even know.
Yeah,
we saw this trailer twice now. It's him.
And
50
they use
Cent.
The
who else?
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Ice Cube Jr.
Yeah,
and it's like weird cops
and
who are crooked.
Random white guy that I've seen in other military-esque roles.
Yeah, he's just playing a white guy.
No.
Yeah. But like really bland white guy.
Yeah.
Like you're a bland white guy, but you got some more blood in you somewhere.
Of course. Yeah.
This guy. But he's like really bland white guy. Like what's his name? Luke Bracey.
What's his name?
Exactly. Luke Bracey sounds like, I just had my Luke Bracey procedure the other day to fix my broken cochlear.
That's Tommy John surgery.
That's my Tommy John.
Now I can pitch 95 miles an hour.
Now I can pitch all day.
Luke Bracey. He's the Point Break remake dude.
Ah, Point Break.
Oh, God.
Oh, terrible. What a shockingly boring movie. Yeah.
That gave me indigestion.
Right? He was also in, talking about indigestion, he was in the Novemberman.
Oh, the Novemberman.
He's that guy.
God, what a bad movie.
What a bad movie. But he gets to keep making movies. They get a fail up. Why do they get a fail up?
I don't know.
You're not bland enough. You got to be blander, Drew, so we can fail upwards. Bland
so I can fail up.
So we can fail up. We need to ride your whiteness.
Yeah.
It's okay to be white people. Don't worry about it.
Number four this week.
I just brought up something online about someone being racist about something, and he's like, "It's okay to be white." I said, "I never said it wasn't. I never said nothing about whiteness. I just said racist." You're the one who equated racist with white. I'm just saying. What are you saying, Drew?
Number four this week.
Oh, the show, number four. Yeah.
Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Man, that Tyler Perry, he's riding that Chitlin' circuit to the day he died.
Weekend gross, $4.6 million. Total of 42.
42?
On a budget of 25. Now, see, that's how you make a piece of shit movie. You make one of it cheap.
He does make them pretty cheap. I mean, how much does Geostorm cost?
$120 million.
Yeah.
If Geostorm had cost $30 million, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion.
He always, though, I mean, I don't care for his movies, but the one thing I always respected is his hustle.
No.
Like, I was here.
Oh, no,
The early days, agreed. Like when he did the plays.
Yeah,
he
would do circuit plays, yeah.
He would write, produce, direct, act, and sell concessions.
No. Yes. So. Well, I didn't know about the concessions.
Yeah. I know he's a hard worker and he's a big hustle, but.
I will not knock his work ethic.
No. But his movies are terrible.
His movies are awful.
TV shows are terrible. And I've seen some unfortunate because it's like there was a while there, not so much anymore, but there was a while where on TBS it was like the Tyler Perry / Seth MacFarlane network. Where it was 2 hours of Meet the Browns, followed by 2 hours of American Dad. It was like a worse MacFarlane too. What was the other one that did Meet the Browns and he had another
Cleveland
show? And so Tyler Perry just makes movies and TV shows and cranks them out, and enough people see him that he gets I think he has his own studio.
Yeah, he's going all Passion of the Christ on it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. He funds a lot of his own stuff in the beginning, gets some supplementary money because it's gonna, like you said,
it's gonna sell.
It's almost already at 50 million after only a couple of weeks, and it's Boo too. Like, yeah. I mean, what obvious like crap. So, also speaking of Tyler Perry, though, he did Gone Girl. Right, yeah, he acted in Gone Girl for David Fincher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas an actor, he's perfectly fine. He's so far of what he's done, he's serviceable as an actor. Yeah. Right, he did that Alex Cross movie. Where it's like, he said working with Fincher first, he took that job not knowing who David Fincher was because he's not a film buff in any way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just wants to tell his stories, right? So, but then he finds out about who David Fincher is, and then he talks to him. He's like, "Oh, this guy approaches filmmaking in a way that's foreign to me as a filmmaker," because he's just a writer who then... He's like the Super Trooper guys. One of those guys, the Indian dude, Jay Chandrasekhar.
Chandrasekhar.
He's the director.
Yeah.
That's because when they first started filming stuff, he's the one who owned the camera.
Yeah, so he became the director.
And he was like, "Okay, I'm the one who can point the camera at things as we..."
Oh, nice.
So then he has fallen into a career as a film director, and he's made a number of movies. Tyler Perry, the same thing. He needed someone to point the cameras. Well, I'll do the pointing. It's easier this way.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually know anything about filmmaking, though. Yeah. Talking to David Fincher, he says he learned so much stuff that he's super excited for his next drama. And he's like, "I'm making a Tyler Perry, like a Madea movie. I'm not applying those things to a Madea movie. All that stuff is going to be devoid of what I'm learning. But from Fincher, I'm learning this stuff that I'm super excited to show people. And I think people will be surprised by what a Tyler Perry film can be."
Well, Tyler Perry film is a Tyler Perry movie.
As opposed to a Madea movie. He wants to make a Tyler Perry film. He's actually interested in real, legit filmmaking.
Well, that's one hell of a director to learn from.
Exactly, right? But you know who else David Fincher was kind of taking under his wing to show movie making? Fred Durst.
Dude! Interesting.
Yes, and Fred Durst made The Education of Charlie Banks or something like that, and maybe another movie, and another Fincher protege. Showing a little more promise, but still, meh. Joseph Kosinski, the guy who did Tron Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
And then Oblivion with Tom Cruise. Okay. He does movies that are, like, okay.
There are parts of it that are really awesome.
And then they look amazing.
Yeah.
He also did that, what's that? Is it still in the top five? Now maybe jumping ahead on the top five. Only the Brave?
Only the Brave, number 9.
Number 9. That's the firefighter movie about the true story of those Hot Shots firefighter group that got killed in some wildfire. Spoiler alert, they were killed. History spoilers, they were killed. So a couple years ago. He directed that movie, which I didn't know was him because there's no, like, nothing shiny or sci-fi or there's no Tron cycles in it. It's just dudes in a forest with fire. But apparently that's a Joseph Kaczynski movie.
Interesting.
Dave, another David Fincher protege. So we'll see if Tyler Perry can do it, or if he's just going to make Boo 3.
Oh, he will make Boo 3.
And then run away with the money.
He will make Boo 3.
He's just so rich. Like, why does he even care anymore what people think? He never doesn't care what people think,
obviously.
Right? He just makes his movies.
Number 3 this week.
He puts Larry the Cable Guy in him. Anyway.
Jigsaw. Made $6.7 million, total 28.
28 on a budget of?
10.
Okay, it's a pretty cheap movie. Mm.
Horror movies are always cheap.
Doing the Simon Time Trivia Show. Available every Monday, episode 14. It's with a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of 19-year-olds. I don't know where Simon finds these guys. Yeah, they're some of his players, right? And before the show, off mic, they were talking about the Jigsaw movie. And I was like, oh, tell me, like, because I have no intention of actually seeing it.
No.
Tell me how this works out, how they tie it all. And they told me about how it is, and it's...
Pretty awful. Yeah. No.
From what and then they didn't seem too enthused. And one guy was like, he knows all the characters, the whole mythology. He was trying to explain everything. And then it was like a Russian doll of Saw plot points. Goes into here, into that, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Man. I mean, even the traps weren't even that great.
What, did you see it?
I saw part of it.
You saw part of it? What? How does that work?
I'm the type, lately, if a movie doesn't catch me in the first half, yeah, I'm done.
Oh, you'll walk out of a movie?
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, true. Yeah. I'm not one to walk out because I feel like I paid for this, you know. Yeah. The last movie I walked out of was the Conan the Barbarian remake.
Ouch.
But that was also because that was the second of a doubleheader. I had seen another movie before that.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what that first movie was, but it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting down to see another movie and I was halfway through. I was like, man, my ass literally hurts right now. I just have to stand up and get out of here.
Now, I won't walk out of them. I just won't pay attention anymore.
You're still sitting there? What,
I'll take
a nap?
Yeah, I'll take a nap. I don't know. I'll go take a dump or something.
You go drop some heat in the movie theater.
That's what I think about your film.
You know, a movie theater is a decent place to drop some real heat.
Though, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because people are always in the theaters. They don't want to be in a bathroom for a long time. Me, I sit and stew in it, you know?
You will stew, too, because unless you use the handicap stall, those other stalls are tight.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You try getting in there, closing the door, that you're banging your knees either against the toilet, which is gross, or against the door.
Even grosser.
I mean, come on, man. It's a volatile situation.
You got to strategize how you're going to wipe. It's terrible.
You do got to strategize. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, he might not have to. He can fit in.
No, I'm tall, though.
No.
I got the long legs.
He is gangly, but still, Drew is the guy where if we're stuck in like a cube type situation or in a prison, he's the one we're setting into the grates or into the vent.
Oh, I'm totally going to die in there, too.
Like, come on, man. You're our only hope.
I'm going to die in there.
I'm the guy bathing in water and in his acid, and I die. So,
We're all going to die in the queue.
I guess we're all going to die in the queue. That's the point of the queue. Uh-huh. All right. So what was the movie we were talking about?
Jigsaw.
Oh, yeah. Jigsaw. Whatever. Moving on.
Number 2 this week.
Number 2.
A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Oh.
Grossed $17 million.
Damn.
$17 million? Not bad.
Total of 21. I guess it opened on a Wednesday.
But yeah, it did open on Wednesday. Budget of what, 30?
28.
Ha-ha! Nailed it. Bad Mom, surprise hit of like a year or two ago? 2 years ago. Yeah. Surprise hit. STX Entertainment. Does it say STX?
Yes.
STX. They immediately were greenlighting the Bad Mom sequel. But they didn't say it was going to be a Christmas movie right away. But they said we're doing a sequel. And we're looking into spinoffs. Immediately, they were like, we're going to spin off on this surprise hit. Saying they were going to do the Bad Dads movie.
Okay.
And then everyone was like, well, what differentiates that from every other movie about dudes being dumb?
Yeah.
You already make those movies all the time. That's what made Bad Mom so special. So they haven't really moved forward on the Bad Dad sequel yet.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to see how much this one did. I don't know if what they were expecting for... it is a Christmas specific, and it's the first week of November.
Yeah. You know? But between that and like the Tyler Perry movies, you're going to make a killing when you do movies that are geared towards a niche audience.
Yes, you're going, especially an underserved audience.
Because like there's a lot of movies geared towards females, but a lot of them are sappy love stories.
Yeah,
like they don't have a lot of Bridesmaids. That's what killed.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Bridesmaids. They are allowed to be bawdy and ridiculous. Like, I think that's the same thing that happened with that's why I want to see it. Girls Trip.
Yeah.
Because you see that in the trailer, Girls Trip, they're allowed to be crazy and outrageous, like a Will Ferrell movie or something, or a James Franco type joint, Seth Rogen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's seeing a movie from a different light in a way that they're allowed to expand, other than just being a sappy love interest for
absolutely
sexy man.
Yeah, why do they got a pigeonhole? Over 50% of the movie going audience is female, so I mean, why not cater to that part of the audience? It's amazing how few roles there are for women, how few movies are geared towards women when it's like it's literally half your audience.
Yeah,
you know, does it right, Drew?
Yeah,
he gets it. Drew gets it. That's why he has so much to contribute to the discussion. Mm-hmm. Actually, we got a lot to talk about though when it comes to the number one movie.
Number one movie this week. Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok.
Weekend gross $121 million.
120.
121.
They were definitely thinking like 100.
Budget of 180.
They were going to be happy, more than happy with 100.
Yeah, well, they got 120.
120 is like.
And I have a feeling
that's like Spider-Man numbers. Those are like good numbers.
I have a feeling that next week is not going to drop that much either, because the word of mouth is going to be.
Word of mouth is strong.
Yeah,
I've heard nothing but good things.
Nothing but good things.
Fucking amazing.
So at $120 million opening weekend, look at a second weekend of $60 million, a follow-up weekend of that, maybe about $30 million. So next week it'll still be number one at $60 million.
It'll probably still be number one the week after that.
It'll still be number one at 60. No, it won't be number one the week after that, because it'll drop down to 30, and Justice League will be opening around 100 million. So it's going to have 2 weeks at the top. So first off, before we talk about our review, our spoiler-free review, are we going to do a spoiler episode? Do you feel like it's worthy of one?
It's up to you.
But do you feel like, I don't know, I'm on the... Like, it's jokes. Are we just going to sit here and explain jokes for 30 minutes?
Jokes and action scenes.
That's why we don't do spoiler episodes for comedy movies, you know? And then the themes, we could talk about that stuff. Well, I don't think we're going to do one. Are you a Marvel movie fan?
Yeah, I like Marvel.
Are you digging the whole, like, the Iron Man, Civil War, Captain America storyline?
Yeah, I like crossover type of movies.
Yeah.
When I always thought that was pretty cool. I'm a big wrestling fan, angles when like a guy from another federation comes to the other federation. I'm like, oh man, what's happening?
Oh man, most epic example of that, at least in our age group, it's got to be NWO.
Outsiders showed up.
Literally, like, hey, what are these WWF guys doing at WCW? Like, we're taking over. And they're body slamming announcers through tables.
So,
and shit.
When they started doing that, then when they got with Sony, and then they added Spider-Man to the mix, I was like, oh, this is so awesome.
Okay, well, this gives you a taste of that.
Yeah.
Well, first off, we're finding out where Hulk's been, finally. For the last 2 years, because he's been missing for movies. Because it's a Thor movie, but it's almost as much a Hulk movie.
Almost.
I almost forgot that they did it in that the bonus scene for Doctor Strange was Thor showing up.
Yeah.
Being like, where's Odin, right?
Yeah.
This movie plays out that whole scene, so you get some Doctor Strange in this thing.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of that cross-pollination, but for the most part, it is its own standalone Thor / Hulk movie, and then it does lean more towards Thor. Have you seen all of them? Like all the Thors, all the Captain Americas.
Trying to think of any of them I haven't seen.
Ant-Man, which is
the only ones I haven't seen are the new Thor.
Okay, which just came out.
The new Spider-Man. I haven't seen the new Spider-Man.
Just came out on home video. And
I think
stuff,
it's. I think it's. Yeah, it's on Redbox now. And stuff.
Totally worth it.
Trying to think of any of the other ones I have. Well, I finally caught up with I finally saw the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice. Okay, Volume 2. Yeah, there you go. So, okay, yeah.
Caught up.
Those are all going to play out now in the Infinity War coming out next summer. Are you a fan of the Thor movies?
My favorite character.
Right, lower tier of of all the Marvel stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, that's how we feel about it. They're okay.
Yeah.
Movies are okay.
The weakest Marvel franchise movies
that they've made. Maybe, and The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
With Ed Norton.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because that was after
And then this movie fucking comes out.
And
it becomes somehow the best thing that the Marvel series has done yet.
It's so good.
Like everything. Like it is. It beats them all.
It's so good.
I've heard a lot of things. Also, I heard that it even does Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
He shows justice up for a little because bit. I saw the doc. I didn't care for it.
You weren't a fan.
I wasn't a fan. All right. I get it. But yeah. I think also I'm a little bit in the dark on his character.
I did a little bit of Doctor Strange reading before I saw the movie. Yeah. To give him a little bit of familiarity. So maybe that could have helped a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had to do the same thing. Like, because one of the main villains was Dormammu.
Dormammu.
Yeah.
Which is fun. A big.
Yeah.
The villain that's not even from our dimension. Like, you got to go into another dimension to confront him or whatever.
But if you're like a casual or a less Marvel fan, you're like, who?
Which is what surprised the hell out of me, I have to say. Because I was like, they were willing to go down some supernatural, weird routes with Doctor Strange for just casual audiences. That they're really expecting people to go there. Thor, in some ways, does that with the whole intergalactic thing. But I guess by now with Guardians of the Galaxy, we are now used to our superheroes going to other planets.
Being in space. Well, I mean,
other species, other creatures.
Hulk didn't freak out. Banner did.
Yeah, Banner was on it. Poor Banner.
Banner was not happy he was on another planet, Chris.
Poor Banner. Okay, well, yeah, man, you gotta see Thor.
You really do. If you
it sounds like you are a fan, you've seen most of them. See it.
Yeah, if you're into these Marvel movies, it is a comedy. It is an action movie. All the bells and whistles are there. If you're not going, oh my god, that was awesome, you're going, oh my god, that was funny.
Yeah,
it's a nonstop.
Probably the two
action laugh riot,
and like the Guardians of the Galaxy's movies are known for having lots of jokes.
Yeah,
Tony Stark is a very funny character. Part of why people like him so much. So there's a lot of jokes there. A lot of jokes in Iron Man 3 because it's Shane Black. Gotta say the two biggest laughs I've had in any Marvel movie were both in Thor, in the beginning and in the end.
Oh, at the end. There's one point that
it was crazy.
There's one part that serious. You're trained for one reaction, but you... Oh, man.
Yeah, these movies, like, point where when something happens, like, all right, here
you're
it goes.
Like, I know what's going to happen next.
And then they swerve.
Yeah. They throw you a fucking curveball, and it is one of the funniest things you'll ever see in your life. Oh, it really
so,
is.
It was so funny.
Man. Yeah.
Because even the trailer for it, was better than some movies I've seen.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And they're letting you know, they're setting you up like, hey, this is a jokier, much more self-aware Thor.
Yeah.
And also a Hulk that is talking.
Yes.
We get much more.
Actual dialogue. Yeah,
he's got the vocabulary of like an 8-year-old.
And then there's Tessa Thompson plays a badass character who's also very fun.
Yeah.
And,
Kate Blanchett is great as Hela.
Favorite villain.
Yeah.
So hot.
She does. She looks amazing.
Her character design is cool. She does this thing where she has like long black hair, and then when she's ready to do battle,
she does this, and it turns into this weird like Aku looking helmet.
Yeah, like the spiky helmet thing.
See, I got excited too because I know her possible connection to Thanos.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like,
exactly. Yeah. Which they play right into right away, and. Yeah. Yes, I'm very interested to see. I haven't seen anything online about her being around for Infinity War shoots, so I don't know if they kept that like as under wraps as possible.
Yeah.
If that character comes back or not, but they don't necessarily set up this movie for the character to be a continuing character. But then they don't also. It's one of those things where it's like you don't see what happens.
Yeah.
Is it an off-screen type deal? It's all magic and illusion.
Okay.
And you know, metaphysical and supernaturals. It's a comic book movie. They can write anything they want into it to make up their story. But maybe my favorite movie villain. They gave her a great backstory. The way they tied into Thor was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It sets up what's coming with Thanos in a great way, I think. And then also just aesthetically, visually, she is a badass, very cool-looking character. When she does battle with the blades and stuff, that's a lot of fun.
Shooting everywhere. Yeah.
And also this movie, I tweeted this and then I said this. We've never seen like widescreen compositions in a Marvel movie like we've seen in this one.
Oh my
god. Like at least half a dozen to a dozen shots.
Yeah, where it's just like poster.
Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like straight up pieces of art. Like, I could just take this and put it on my wall and just look at
nice.
It's incredible. And they know what they're doing, too, because they are, like, always in slow motion.
Yeah.
And it's very wide. And they have it up there long enough that your eyes can, like, look at
look
the
around,
entire.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot to look at. And they let you look at it. And it's gorgeous. Gorgeous movie.
And then I like the idea of this one, because this one's from my take, it's the biggest crossover one, where it ties in a lot of the movies, because they have the collector's brother, Jeff Goldblum's character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. The game, the what do they call him? The Grandmaster.
Grandmaster.
He's the game master, but they call him the Grandmaster.
He's the brother of the collector.
Yeah.
Yep. Benicio del Toro's character.
Yep. He's got to come back, man. I want to see somebody.
Well, they were talking about having them possibly in a movie
together. And at least in a scene together. Yeah. Right? Come on, man. That would create with two of our weirdest actors, del Toro and Goldblum. Oh,
man,
that'd be fantastic. Yeah. So they're tying that in.
Yeah.
Hulk ties directly into Avengers Age of Ultron, going back to that whole storyline.
Yeah.
And then they are thoroughly setting up Infinity War with their mid-credits bonus scene. Mm-hmm. They do the two bonus scenes, and then the final bonus scene is just like a Jeff Goldblum jokey joke thing, which is, doesn't really set anything up.
Okay.
So it's they got a lot of ground to cover, because then the next movie is Black Panther.
Yeah,
which again, it's going to be its own contained movie, mm-hmm. but then I'm sure it's going to have its own little bonus scene at the end, bridging the final gap, and then it's Infinity War, which is a lot's going to go on. We had Nikki Wilson in here, her recently episode 251, and she's like, she works with people, and she's done work on like Ant-Man, and she works with people, and she's worked on the Fantastic Four movie, but it's a type of thing where she told us a lot of cool stuff off mic that she couldn't tell us on mic. Gotcha. And then she knows
stuff that she can't tell us.
She knows stuff that she can't tell us. And there's also, she knows stuff that she knows so much stuff that she forgot stuff. So, like, there's Avengers Infinity War, and then there's Avengers 4, where they haven't announced the title. Because they say that the title is a spoiler for what happens in Infinity War.
Oh, shit. All right.
She said that she's seen the title. She knew what the title was.
And then
she was like, and we're like, oh, Nikki, tell us the title. No, we got this source, and she's forgetting stuff. Anyway, we'll get it. Shout out to Nikki Wilson. She's very cool. Gorgeous movie. The funniest movie. Taika Waititi just knows how to tell a story. Like, character arc, he sets up characters, and they go through a whole story, each of them, and they all tie together. It's, like, just well-made movie. It just happens to be a Thor
movie. Wasn't he an actor in Green Lantern? The director?
Like, was he? I don't know. He did Hunt for the Wilder People as a filmmaker. Okay. Hunt for the Wilder People and why am I blanking on it now?
He was an actor in What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. Yes, he's one of the vampires in What We Do in the Shadows. Did you see What We Do in the documentary about vampires?
Yeah.
That's a hysterical movie. He plays like a prissy dandy kind of vampire from a turn of the century vampire.
Oh, no, he was in Green Lantern. He was Tom Kalmaku.
Who the hell is Tom Kalmaku?
Hang on.
I have no idea who that was. Like, I saw that movie once in theaters. He was one of the guys behind Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
Him and Jermaine Clement like ran Flight of the Conchords. Nice. Yeah.
Only reason I know that bit of information was someone posted something. It was like a still shot of him and Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
And it was like, these guys both starred in Green Lantern. That movie was shit.
Yeah.
And they both went on to, and then he said Thor, and then he went Deadpool. To Deadpool.
Which are,
and he goes, keep pressing. Take the shit you can, but you're on to bigger and better
that's
things.
That's true. You know, that's funny. But that's true. Yeah, keep trying. Just like Chris Evans was the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And the movies weren't as good as they could be. Shout out to the director of those movies, friend of the show, Carl Verna, Tim Story, who made those movies. He turned it all around, got himself Captain America, now maybe the most iconic Marvel movie character.
I didn't find the Fantastic Four movies too terrible.
When you go back on them now and look at them, I see what they're going for. They're very family friendly. They're very comic booky for 2004 standards.
Yeah,
I didn't like them that much, but they age better than other movies do. It's interesting.
Or even that one off Fantastic Four movie,
the most recent one.
Yeah,
and that one had problems.
It was.
I liked the first half more than I liked the second half.
Yeah,
yeah, which is weird. which is very weird.
That weird planetary gate thing was weird.
Yeah, just... the negative zone, which could have been fun, but it was like,
but it wasn't.
It was like, I don't know. Thor Ragnarok is fantastic.
Yes,
it's absolutely fantastic, and people need to check it out. And right, yeah.
Yeah, this is fucking awesome.
It's a great way to stay in shape.
There we go. All right, here we go. New movies coming out on DVD. Ingrid Goes West with Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen. We got to check that out, Drew. Remember that one? That's the one where Aubrey Plaza is the... she's like a little crazy. And
it's on Netflix. I saw it.
You saw it? You saw the movie?
I watched it.
You watched it already?
I watched it.
What did you watch Ingrid Goes West? It's on Netflix?
I think so.
No, it comes out on Tuesday this week.
Somehow I've seen it. Man, I saw it.
That's
fine. I don't know how I saw it, but I saw it.
I gotta check it out. You said Aubrey Plaza.
I love her. She is hysterical. Yeah. I love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw it already?
I saw it. I don't know how I saw it, but I saw it.
I want to see it.
I saw it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's good.
Did you see the show Legion that she's on? She's the bad guy in Legion.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She's good in Legion.
Oh, man. She gives like a...
That whole show is... When does that show come back? I want me some Dan Stevens Legion.
Late 2018, I think. She is bonkers. She is bonkers gonzo in that movie. This movie called Patty Cakes comes out on DVD this week.
Wasn't that great at the Florida Film Fest?
That was at the Florida Film Festival. And it's about this white chick, this fat white chick who wants to be a rapper. And no one's going to tell her no. One of those things. It's got Catherine Moriarty in it, which is a classic actress. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters.
Oh, where'd it go?
No, where'd it go?
Drew. Hang on a second. God damn it.
Drew!
Where'd it go? This weekend, we've got Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Ebbing, Missouri. That's starring Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, and it's written by the guy who wrote and directed In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths.
Correct.
It's a movie about this lady, played by Frances McDormand. Everyone knows her from Fargo.
Yeah.
Her daughter was killed.
Okay.
Small town situation, right? Daughter was killed.
So Woody Harrelson is the sheriff.
He's the sheriff of the small town.
Okay.
No answers, no leads. So this woman rents three billboards along this road, and the billboards say something like, "How come you haven't caught my daughter," something like that, like trying to bring a big, make a big stink about it, and then the story just goes on from there. She's trying to get justice for her daughter, and the sheriff is trying to figure things out, and it's just a super interesting looking movie. Have you ever seen In Bruges with Colin Farrell, where he's a hitman forced to go to the small town?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's good though.
It's hysterical. Oh, it's a dark comedy. It's super good. It's really good.
It was on Amazon. Ingrid Goes West.
Ingrid Goes West on Amazon. Would you rent it?
Yeah, no, I didn't rent it. It was on streaming.
They do sometimes a digital release is like a week or two early before it's on actual DVD. I'm talking or like a box or whatever. Like
a month ago.
Man, you stole that shit then. You pirate streamed that.
I didn't. I don't have any pirate streaming programs.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
I've seen you watching. You were watching Justice League yesterday.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were, man.
No. I wasn't.
You son of a bitch.
He's a Jack Sparrow.
Also coming out. Also coming out this weekend.
So I want to see this Three Billboards movie.
Daddy's Home 2.
Daddy's Home 2. The sequel to the comedy that wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's an actual movie? Yeah. That sounds so much like a porn.
Doesn't it?
No, that's
Daddy's Home 2, T-O-O.
Yes, exactly. And that's a whole different movie.
That's the porn one. Yeah.
And last but certainly not least...
I'm not going to see Daddy's Home 2, because fuck Mel Gibson at this point. That guy's a creepy weirdo.
Oh, is that the one Mark Wahlberg?
Will Ferrell.
And John Cena shows up.
And I love John Lithgow.
Me too, but not in this.
I can't beat down with this Mel Gibson Redemption Tour thing. He doesn't even seem like all for asking for... He doesn't even seem all that redeemed.
No.
He's like, guys, enough time has passed. Let me make movies again.
Please. He's like, I guess I'll work with the Jews again.
Yeah, exactly. Surgically.
Sure, man. Sure.
Man, I don't know about this guy anymore.
And last but certainly not least, Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express.
Kenneth Branagh's Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient... Actually, Kenneth Branagh's remake of Sidney Lumet's Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
Remake of a classic movie, but it's like, you know, it's a classic movie, right? But it's one of those ones where I tried watching it, and I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
The original. I'll try again. Maybe it was just a mindset type
thing. It happens.
It was like 10 years ago. I'll give it another shot. So I've never seen the entirety of the original, directed by Sidney Lumet, a fantastic director, Dog Day Afternoon, etc., etc. This one, Kenneth Branagh's movie.
Kenneth Branagh's mustache.
Have you seen the trailers, Marcus?
No.
Can you pull a picture of Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express mustache and show it to
you? I bet you if I just do Kenneth Branagh mustache.
Kenneth Branagh stash. Look at this thing, Marcus. And then tell me if you can grow something like this. And there we go.
Oh, man.
Look at that thing.
That is...
It takes four assistants to make sure they have enough wax to make that stay out there. Isn't that ridiculous?
That has more wax than a Ricky Martin video.
There you go. Ayo, take that. Ricky Martin. Shout out to Ricky Martin. Puerto Rican. It's a Puerto Rican royalty.
She's in the Superstition. Black Earth.
Man, that song that took over the world.
Yeah.
That song took over the world. Living La Vida Loca. Remember that time, Drew? He was probably
vaguely.
He was probably out of stupid Puerto Rican.
I was on a lot of drugs then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Drew was on drugs. I was like, no way this guy's gay. Look at all the chicks in this music video.
Yeah, he's swarming at him, man.
He's swarming at it.
So gay.
Hey, so gay. So, mm-hmm. so gay. Yeah, good for him, though.
Yeah, he's got a bare chest and his button-down shirt. There's no way
he's gay. He's gay.
No way.
Well, it's been like 10 years now since he's come out. Maybe less than that. 5 years.
Yeah.
Eh, he could have come out earlier than that. Come on, embrace your sexuality, people. It's all good. Unless you're a pedophile, in which case, no, lock that down inside.
Yeah. Or you're into, like, you know, banging guinea pigs and shit.
Mm. Yeah, well, they can't. A guinea pig can't consent. If you can prove to me that a guinea pig can consent
and
to
one to be
banged, is into it, then bang away. But
until that point,
it's like, I'm gonna marry this toaster. Is the toaster gonna say yes?
Make strudels the hard way.
I don't want that. Remind me to not eat your strudels. Marcus Strudels. You should open Marcus
Strudels.
You put
Strudels. The tart in Pop-Tart.
It's better than putting the pop in Pop-Tart.
Marcus's Extra Tart Strudels.
Yeah, man.
Crespo Strudels.
Extra Pop-Tarts.
Drew, you want some Crespo Strudels?
No.
Strudels. We'll make them extra tart for you.
No.
I don't smoke cigarettes. Do you smoke cigarettes?
No.
Cigarettes. Yeah, so there won't be, like, your tartiness will be like, ugh, gross, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? Drew.
Chris.
Are those all the movies come out in theaters?
Those are.
All right, then that means it is time for me to drink.
Yeah!
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, I cannot talk about Thor Ragnarok enough. It was one of the funniest movies I think I've seen this year. One of the most action-packed movies I think I've seen this year. And like I said before, probably the best thing that Marvel's done so far. So if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. Get out there. See Thor Ragnarok. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Cogburn out.
All right, there we go. Cogburn out. Thank you, Dr. Drew, for your prescription for everyone. Let's take a break. We got to take a break, guys. Crespo Disco time here. I got a couple songs. Speaking of Thor Ragnarok. A lot of 80s infused type of score. There's like a combination of like a classical superhero score,
and then
all of a sudden
it's like Blade Runner.
Yes, or
they're in a flying car in a giant future city, and it's just like, what the fuck is going on in this goddamn movie?
And then it's all electronic and cool. And then at the end of the movie, during the credits, when it showed the music by credit, I was like, oh yes. Duh, Chris. We reported this on Cinema Crespediso in the past.
Maybe we should listen to the show more.
We should listen to our own show. It's a good show. We
that's what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too. The reviews on iTunes say it's a good show. Mark Mothersbaugh, the guy behind Devo, he's the one who did the score. So that's why it's all like, it's like super 80s cool.
And the Rugrats.
Yes. He's done so much amazing music, Mark. He's a genius of sorts. So I grabbed two Mark Mothersbaugh songs. One from the Thor Ragnarok soundtrack, specifically the arena fight song when Thor and Hulk are fighting. And then also, I'm going to play something from the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, the track called Let Me Show You My Boat. And you guys can hear...
It sounds so dirty.
It does sound dirty, right? But the stuff he did with Wes Anderson, Steve Zissou, the Royal Tenenbaums, Rushmore, and Bottle Rocket, it all has a much more classical sounding style to it. It's very cool. So people can hear the differences in Mark Mothersbaugh's style, but also the similarities between the two. And then we're going to be back with the second half of the show. We got some Vox Populi. We got at least last week's Billy Dee's stuff in the movies.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we got last week's.
Yeah, last week's. And
maybe we'll have this week's
and
eventually.
Some movie news. And then we got there's a trivia round you guys got to do. And then and then you're going to get some swag, Marcus. Oh, you got to go home with stuff. So it's a very exciting time.
Yay.
To be alive.
Feel so alive.
Yes, absolutely. So here we go, guys. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Enjoy these two songs, everyone.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchie, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchie, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip, then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Woo! Woo! I'll fix that in post. We are back. Second half of the show. Booyaka, booyaka, booyaka.
619.
Respect, we are back. Welcome to episode 252. Chilling with Drew Sacogburn, Drew.
Dude.
And Marcus Crespo, bro. Bruh, bruh, bruh. That's right. That's how we do it in Puerto Rico with our Uzis and our. What is this? This is, it's not. Is it that long?
Switchblades.
No, it's pretty cool, man. They do have packs of wild dogs. Unemployment is also very high, so people do get desperate. We are not here to talk about the plight of Puerto Rico. I am thinking about doing a podcast miniseries, though, that is about the plight of Puerto Rico, but that's a whole other PFT media matter. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the internet.
Send Drew your favorite Madagascar GIFs at Antihero419 on Twitter. And also try to friend him on Facebook and see what happens.
Yeah, you can try.
You can try. Is that right?
You can try.
We can try.
You can try all you want.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Marcus.
What's up?
Where can people find you on the interwebs?
All right. Marcus Cupcake at Twitter. Crespo Besto at Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then just Marcus Crespo on Facebook.
There you go. And do you have any gigs you would like to promote? This will be coming out now Sunday later today. I know you have one tonight. That unfortunately, it's not like people listening will be able to go.
The closest one I got is I got a show in Deltona next Saturday.
Okay.
At a place called Winks.
Winks. Have you been there before?
Nope. Winks, I'm headlining.
Is that a strip club?
No clue.
And you're headlining it?
Yeah.
What's that? All right. So there, how does it go? You got opener, feature, headliner, right?
Usually. Yeah.
Oh man. And you're, so how long was it? 30 minutes?
Depends. It depends on the show. If it's like a comedy club,
yeah,
like an hour. So,
what's the longest? How much time do you have? What's the longest you can do? Could you do an hour?
An hour? I've done about an hour and a half before.
You've done an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Does that involve like a lot of crowd work and stuff too?
That one did.
Yeah.
That one did. The 30 minutes was like mostly crowd work.
30
and
minutes
then the hour was my set.
So you do have up to an hour set that you could break.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while. So
how long have you been doing it overall?
Overall?
Yeah.
My first time I stepped on stage was 2008.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. It's going to be 10 years next year.
10 years now. Oh, it's awesome, man. Very exciting. Man, I'm telling you, I gotta come to a legit... Like, the tumbleweed thing was cool, but like I said, the sound was off.
Yeah.
The election thing was all funky. I gotta come to, like, a real gig. I'm always looking at all these gigs that people are always doing comedy in town. There's no shortage of open mics, showcases in Orlando. It seems like a very... lively scene here, that's for sure. And I feel like I need to do more to participate and check it out, man. I feel bad about it.
I mean, that's the only thing that's tough when you got people making moves too.
Yeah.
We're all making moves.
We are all making moves. That's the thing. That's a thing. I want to go to the David Jolly's thing on Wednesday. There's always comedy on Wednesdays. I want to go to this Wednesday because starting next Wednesday... See, this is how I transition to my plugs. Next Wednesday, November 15th, I am hosting trivia. Curtis Earth Trivia is coming to the Oblivion Tap Room here in Orlando. For our Japanese listeners and UK listeners and California listeners. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Just fast forward like a minute. But to our Florida listeners, Orlando listeners, who are many, who are legion, guys, I am hosting trivia at the Oblivion Tap Room on Wednesdays now. So if you're near the middle of town, that's at 5436 area, come out to that. They have over 40 beer taps. They have a crazy beer burger menu, burger selection. Have you ever been to Oblivion?
They might have done a show there.
You may have done a show there. They do have like a nice little stage set up, PA set up, as a matter of fact. I'm actually pretty excited to get to do my trivia show through their PA. It's going to sound awesome because I love playing different music and stuff. People, come out. We need the support. It's going to be fun. They had to fire their last trivia show, The Geeks Who Drink, because they sucked and they couldn't get a good crowd. It's proved to them that Curtis Earth Trivia is the best trivia company out there and that you enjoy me as a trivia host. Let's do it, guys, because I'm trying to get paid. I'm trying to get paid, Marcus. Yeah, I need monies. I need the monies, and this gig pays well, so I want to keep it. It's going to be a good one. I also do Tuesdays, Cork and Fork. That gig is still going. Tuesdays, 7 p.m., Cork and Fork. Come out to that one, guys. So that's those are my trivia plugs. You got your life. You got your stand-up comedy. And you know what, man? So I started doing... trivia this year, just this year. I now, it's the same thing with comedy in a couple ways. First off, I feel for you the pain of trying to get people to convince people to come to your thing.
Yeah.
To your thing. Like, yeah. There are so many things out there. Please come to my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when people do show up, I'm like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for coming. Drew Sakaibert, I can't get this guy to come to my thing anymore because
he's so far away.
It's on the other side of town.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I know, Drew, but like, you're my friend. You're my buddy. He's like, no, it's so far. And I, you know, even my own mother won't come to that gig that often anymore because she's like, ah, for her own reasons.
Yeah.
Also, actually, my mom doesn't even like trivia that much. She's discovered that she doesn't like trivia, which is pretty funny. Mm.
Well, trivia is an easier sale than comedy.
You would think so.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You would think so. It includes, when it's a similar thing where it's you're in convincing people to come to a place where then you want them to spend money on food and drink.
Gotcha.
So it's dependent on the place, right? Although, no, with comedy, in some ways, you're just convincing people to buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Buy the ticket. Who cares whether they're getting drinks or not, right?
Well, I was thinking in terms of when you're there.
Yeah.
Because comedy, this is like the toughest part is, come to my show where you have to sit silent for 2 hours while we tell you stuff. Trivia is participatory.
Participatory, but a different set of challenges. Yes, that is different where you are like, all right, now listen to me monologue. Maybe I have a story to tell you. That's going to take 5 minutes and you need to listen to my story. Yes.
Yeah.
You are asking for a different style of attention.
Yeah.
Trivia is more participatory. You're listening to my question and you're writing it down. And then I get a play. I ask my question, like I repeat it.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing music on my tablet. And then I'm just standing up there like jiving. I'm shaking my shoulders. You know, I do a little bit of extra. I swear, I do this on purpose. I dance a little bit for people so they have a visual thing. But then I'm also like, I'm on Bumble. I'm like swiping. I'm on Tinder. And, you know,
nice.
And I'm on Twitter looking at my short list real quick. Like I'm retweeting stuff.
Multitasking.
Because I'm allowed to. Because I don't have to fill 30 minutes with my jokes. Instead, it's an hour and a half. But here's a question. And then here's a little bit of music. And then I'm chilling. But my set of challenges involve something else where I'm now trying to get people where, like, at the Oblivion Tap Room, this is going to happen. It's a big room. There will be people there who aren't there for the trivia, but they will be drinking.
Yes.
And they're going to be enjoying themselves drinking. And then I'm going to ask a question and they're going to be like, Steven Spielberg. They're going to yell at the answer. Yeah. And then I'm going to have to be like, please don't yell at the answer. We're trying to have fun here. Do your thing. We're doing our thing. That happens. Because I've talked to other trivia hosts who had to deal with
that. Well, that's the same exact problem.
Well, heckling.
Yeah.
It's a form of heckling. I've dealt with hecklers already.
I have a joke about that where I talk about how, like, basically we're like comedians are nerdy Vikings. We just take over stuff. Like, oh, you want to work? You want to go to this coffee house and drink your latte and work on your thesis paper? No, we're doing comedy.
That's funny.
And then,
that's true, though. But, yeah.
And then I go into how I did like a 5-minute set at my grandma's funeral. It's a true story.
You turned a eulogy into a set. But people actually, though, that makes sense. People deflect or cope with humor, right? So you will find that. I've been to my share of funerals.
Yeah.
There will be the one person that goes up there and they use jokes, they use humor, and they get people laughing.
Yeah.
And it's almost a relief in that situation where it's such a heavy feeling in the room. Here's someone telling jokes. Marcus, can I bring you to my next funeral with me? Like, I need someone. And then, like, I'll give you the details of the person's life, and you go up there and you do a set.
I actually almost had someone pay me to go perform at a funeral.
Really? Yes.
I didn't know the person.
For the same reason, right?
Yeah.
Because it helps.
Yes. That's so funny. Like, my uncle was normally a jokester, and he was losing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then and he saw me, and when something's indifferent, I smile.
Yeah.
And he's always smiling. He's like, oh, Marcus wants to sit. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh, no. He got called up there. Yeah. That's hysterical, man. But it is very, it's similar. And then also, so I feel the pain in trying to get people to come out. I feel the pain as a trivia host. I feel the pain in the hecklers.
Yeah.
Because I did a gig I covered for Curtis Earth once at the Wing Shack over on Michigan and Conway. It's this little shitty wing place.
Yeah.
And it was an outdoor gig by the outside bar where there are dudes who are sitting there all day already drinking, watching hockey.
Jesus.
So when I set up my shit and I start asking questions, like I would ask a question and they know how to fuck me. They'd be like, they would just yell out of the corner of their mouth like, repeat the question, you know? And then I would just I know it's them. I'm going to repeat the question anyway. I'm going to play into it. It sucked. I still got paid, though. It sucked, but I still got paid.
Yeah.
The third thing that I feel the pain of having to do,
yeah,
having to do my trivia game to a dead room, to an empty crowd. I've done that where I showed up to a gig that I was subbing.
You felt the pain.
Getting paid X amount of dollars. There's literally three or four people, like three or four teams, in a big room looking at all these empty tables. And I have to be like, all right, game face, let's do the show. Like, it's a packed room,
yeah.
You know? And then when I did that, I was like, oh, so that's what it's like to, like, have to do your trivia or your comedy.
Fuck, you're a stand-up comedian, man.
It's the same thing, oh, right? Man. Yeah, you got to do Jesus. You got the dead rooms. You got the toughness of coming out. I feel it. And I've always been a fan of stand-up comedy. Yeah.
And your heckling probably is amplified by the fact that it is participatory.
It is participatory.
So they feel like they can just yell shit out.
Yes, exactly. Here we go. All right.
Here we go.
Here's the sound, guys. Drew Stackhoffman vs. the world. Drew Stackhoffman vs. the world. Drew.
Drew, you ready for some trivia, buddy?
I am.
All right, here we go. So I'm just saying, Marcus, I'm there with you, man. And yeah. But I also recognize, I'm also recognizing that while I feel the pain of all of that shit, we share those similar pains. Stand-up comedians are going the extra, even further in, like, really crafting the entertainment, the stories, the jokes, and really putting it out there, whereas I'm just going out there with questions that, most of the time, I'm not even writing the questions. I'm getting them from Curtis Earth.
Okay.
I'm picking my songs ahead of time. I'm relying on the music that I'm playing. It is a different vibe that I'm putting out there. Stand-up comedy is all that, and even much more harder. Respect. So I'm saying respect.
Respect for the arts, man.
Respect for the arts. Guys, Drew Stackhoffman versus the world. Drew, you lost last week in a tiebreaker. It was a close one last week.
Uh-oh.
So Drew, you lost, bringing your record to 20 wins and 13 losses. Mm-hmm. Still a very strong record. A great record, I would say. Especially now that we have a actual data set over there.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 losses matching your amount of losses from last year, but 20 wins far surpassing your amount of wins than previous years. This helps that we've had more guests this year than any year before. Marcus, this is how we do it.
All right.
We're going to play a game. This week's game is called The McConaissance.
Okay.
I'm going to name the Matthew McConaughey movie.
All right.
You tell me on Rotten Tomatoes whether it has a score over 50% or under 50% on the Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. I have two groups of five, Group A and Group B. You get to go first because Drew lost last week. Choose wisely. Do you want Group A or Group B?
I'm going to go with Group B.
All right, here we go. I'm going to tell you the movie, the McConaughey movie. You tell me if it has a score of over or under 50%. Here we go. Number one, Interstellar.
Over 50%.
Correct. That's at 71%. So number two, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Under 50%.
That is correct. That's at 27%. Here we go. Number three, Killer Joe. It's supposed to get harder as it goes along.
Yes. Under 50%.
Over 50%. It's at 78. Okay. 78. It's actually a very good movie.
I was about to... okay. Yeah.
I enjoy quite a bit. All right. Here we go. All right. Number four. Angels in the Outfield.
Under 50%.
Correct. 33%.
That's shocking.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Surprised me as well. Yes, it surprised me because I like it quite a bit. And finally, number five, a recent movie, Gold.
Over 50%.
Under 50% at 43. So pretty close. Okay. But you are sitting at 3 and 5. Not bad at all. Drew, you ready?
I guess.
Number one, Dallas Buyers Club.
Over.
Yes, at 93. Very well reviewed. Number two, The Dark Tower.
Under.
Yes, at 16%. They did not like that. Number three, The Lincoln Lawyer.
Over.
Yes, at 83%. Very well liked movie. Number four, a recent one. Free State of Jones.
Under.
Yes, at 46%, it is under. Number 5, We Are Marshall.
Over.
Ooh, it's under at 49%, but you got 4 out of 5. That means you're the winner. Well done, Drusen Cockburn! Putting your record at 21-13, but still, 3 out of 5. Well done, Marcus. That is a good showing, if I do say so. You gave him a run, so well done there. So what I'm saying is, Marcus, what you do is hard. What I do, not so hard, but still kind of hard. But not as hard. I respect is what I'm trying to say. Also, shout out to Big Tim Murphy. Oh, PFT Media plugs. Let me get those out there. People listen to Poking the Bear. I got to get you on, I guess, on some shows, man. I'm going to get you on Scotch and Good Conversation. Okay. Have you heard that one? That's a fun one. It's an interview show.
Okay.
It's a one-on-one interview show. It's really cool. Give it a listen. I'm going to get you as a guest on there.
Heard of him.
Yeah. Peter's a super nice guy. If you're into trivia, we do the Simon Time Trivia Show. We can have you on as a contestant. Drew, 2-time winner already. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck with Drew. Don't fuck with him.
No. I'm good at this shit.
He's good at this. He knows what he's doing. Look at the confidants.
He kicked my ass.
He did. It was an ass. The Lady Reptastic Show, episode 3, coming this weekend. People check that out, as well as The Devils in the Details, part 1 and part 2 of Hollywood Horror History. Both came out by now. Check those out. That's Pedro Lima's show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have Pedro Lima and Dan Perella in here. What it is, Dan Perella, this guy, he's a funny dude, and he likes to do cosplay, but he's also a super smart history teacher, where he does an entire history lesson about a topic. It's like a 45-minute history lesson, and he does it sans notes, phone, computer. It's just all in his brain.
Already there.
And he just sits there. It's all in his brain. He's just like, fact, 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 fact. You're like, you son of a bitch. How do you know all this stuff?
Is he a savant or something?
Me. A savant implies that he's dumb in other aspects of his life. Okay. But he seems to have it together. So, okay. No, I think he's just a smart dude. And then Pedro Lima is just sitting there cracking jokes. Right where you're sitting right now, Marcus. It's Pedro's seat where he cracks the jokes. Shout out to Pedro Lima. He donated those 2 chairs, that chair and that chair. He donated them. What a nice guy. Yeah,
Puerto Rican gorilla.
He is a Puerto Rican gorilla. Shout out to the Puerto Rican. I like the joke that him, Ivan Lopez. Anyone remember? Is that guy still alive? Pedro, know. Ivan, that guy's a giant. He's like you, but like an extra foot of you.
Oh my God.
And Angel Rivera. I want to do like the 3 of them standing behind me and then me in front of them. Or it could be you as well. You can even sub in because you're a little shorter.
Yeah.
And it's like Puerto Rican Goodfellas because they're all so tall and then we're like the Joe Pesci of the group. All right, guys, let's get into the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about. How about we start with last week's. What had happened was Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He does Billy D's Death of the Movies every week. Apparently, last week's email got stuck in the outbox.
Mm.
It got the circle going.
Rough.
It never got sent. He didn't send one this week, but we have last week's, so it works out in the end. Here we go.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What? Dude, we're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Death of the Movies. Death of the Movies. I still love that intro very much. Come on, it's funny, Drew. Come on, Drew, it's funny. Give me a little bit of credit for putting that one together.
Nope.
Come on.
0.
Hit up Billy D on the interwebs at I Love Blood. Marcus, he's a nice guy. It's an alarming name. Especially since he stopped drinking. He's a very nice guy. All he does is smoke weed and watch horror films. He's a cool dude.
Oh, is he a torture porn fan or something?
I don't think so. No, but okay. he like loves horror films. He grew up like us in the era of Blockbuster Video, and he would go to the horror section and just start with A.
Gotcha.
And then he just rented all the movies, so he has an encyclopedic knowledge of a genre for which both Drew Sakagra and myself are lacking. So it works out then that he is our horror film aficionado. And sometimes he reviews horror films, sometimes he reviews other stuff. Drew, take it away.
Oh, what is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D? What's up, Billy D?
Well, actually, there's a little bit above that.
Oh, he explains. Yeah, you can read that.
What? I sent this in this morning at like 9:30 a.m. and just now noticed it's spinning in my outbox. Shakes fist at sky. Technology.
That's what? Right. So we are reading it now this week. Here we go.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Yesterday, around mid-afternoon, I finished beaming all of Stranger Things 2 directly into my brain case. Love the length. 9 episodes is perfect for something like this. Netflix's Marvel series often suffer from too many episodes with not enough story. Stranger Things 2 has enough story for its runtime and manages to expand on its world and mythology. I actually liked it a lot more than Season 1. There is one episode people are griping about, the one I'm starting to think of as the Dream Warriors episode, but I even liked it for what it was. I think if I watch Season 2 again, I'll flip episodes 7 and 8. I think that might ease the flow a little bit. All the characters were so much more developed and dimensional. They gave everyone something to do and a direction to go, and pairing off in new ways that were super enjoyable. Will stopped being just a MacGuffin and became a character. Well done, Duffers. I'm on board with future seasons. Stay cool, Billy D.
All right, Billy D. Enjoying Stranger Things 2. Marcus, are you on the Stranger Things? Are you on that stuff?
I haven't seen any of the second season.
Okay. Drew and I actually just finished watching it last night. Did you like the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's a pretty great little show. I like season two.
Yeah.
But not as much.
Okay.
To be honest, how about you, Drew?
I agree. The story doesn't seem to be as concise. There's definitely more going on with each of the characters. But like you said, I think that makes it less focused as opposed to more.
Yeah.
It just seems like they're multiplying things. Now instead of one girl, there's two girls.
Which is the...
Now instead of one Demogorgon, there's 12.
Yeah, which is the compulsion to go with a sequel, more, bigger, stuff like that. Right?
Yeah.
But I think it did maybe just to lose a little bit of focus. Okay. A little bit overall. But it's still...
Yeah.
It's still Stranger Things.
Entertaining, fun, a lot of cool 80s references. They dress as Ghostbusters at one point, you know. It's cool. They play the... Do-do-do-do-do-do. Shout out to Billy D. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Although that was last week's Death Movies.
Yes, it was.
We didn't get one this week.
No.
So he may be dead. So
or more inbox spinning.
Or it's more inbox spinning. In either case, just to be sure, rest in peace, Billy D.
R.I.P.,
baby. Rest in power, my man. It's either that or he poured out some water. It's either that or Bill de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio's black bag, his fingerman black bagged him, threw him in a van. Took him over to the Gothel's Bridge. You know, they could have buried him in the pillar over there. The new bridge. They made a new bridge. He could be in the pillar.
Yeah.
Time travel. They could looper time travel, send him back to the 1920s, and they could have killed him in the 1920s and disposed of his body then.
Mm-hmm. Could have. Maybe.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We'll only find out next week in episode 253 of Cinema Crespi. So, Drusa Cogburn, let's go into the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for... The world famous
Vox Populi.
That's right. Vox Populi time. You send us your movie reviews, questions, topics, Crespo Dome battles, cinema, Crespodiso at gmail.com. And Drewster Cogburn reads them on the show. Drewster, take it away.
We got an email from
our homeboy, Simi. What's up, dude? West Coast.
He's got a Stranger Things 2 review as well.
West, y'all. All right, Stranger Things 2. Here we go.
If you you don't have to read this if you haven't finished the season yet. Spoilers ahead, Chris.
Oh, maybe you should take some editorial restraint if you see anything too spoilery.
All right, Stranger Things 2 review. These kid actors are better than most of the adult actors I've seen. We get more of Willem this season, and he knows how to play. Got a healthy dose of nostalgia. But I also find myself forgetting that this was taking place in the 80s sometimes. Music was top-notch.
Music is top-notch.
I had to Shazam at least once or twice every episode.
Hmm.
The cliffhangers at the end of each episode had my wife and I glued to the couch. Hashtag Netflix and actually chilled. I also liked the whole blah, blah, blah.
People, this is for your own protection, Trisha Cogburn, helping you out here with the spoilers. Maybe we should do a Stranger Things 2 episode.
Okay. All the pieces just fell into place and everyone was fine.
Spoiler alert!
Season one left me feeling me with like an, oh shit, it's not done. This season did leave la 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 la.
Forever young.
Forever young. But still not enough episodes to quench my Stranger Things thirst.
First.
P.S. I heard your conversation on the last episode about this season not being as good as the first. I agree in some ways, but I think that what makes us feel that way is the fact that when the first season came out, it was new and refreshing.
Sure.
And at the same time, it felt familiar.
And now we're going back.
This season is just going back to the same thing. Right. If both seasons were all grouped into one big miniseries, I don't think we would feel like it fell apart halfway through.
Right.
I don't know. I try not to compare sequels to prequels unless there are some vast differences. Stranger Things 2 used a little of 22 Jump Street formula.
Okay, fair enough. Our highly redacted review of Stranger Things 2 from Drusa Cogburn, from Simi, out there in Los Angeles, one of our California homies. It's him, it's Ron, there's Jason Dyke. We got a bunch of friends out there listening to the show, supporting us on the West Coast. We appreciate it. 3 hours behind. It's still the morning over there.
Nice.
It's still the morning. They still have so much of the day left in front of them.
Oh, man. I could.
So much potential.
Yeah. I got to play a lot of video games in that time.
Did you guys take advantage of that extra hour? I made sure this year, for the first time, I think maybe in my life, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of that hour.
When you slept?
I made sure to sleep. Like, you know, a lot of people will stay up late.
I still woke up. I went to bed at regular time and woke up early as fuck.
Early as fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Marcus?
I did the sleeping thing.
Did you sleep?
Yeah.
I slept. I went to bed at midnight. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? That means if I sleep to, like, true, like, 9 o'clock, that's like 10 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost did. I got like a good 9.5 hours.
Nice.
Oh, it felt good.
And it changed it at 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 2 in the morning.
So if you're a drinker.
Oh, yeah.
Last call, you get one more extra.
Yeah, it's drink. Last car, clear your tabs in an hour.
I've done that. I've done that in my 20s.
Yeah.
I took advantage of an hour in that way.
Yeah.
But this year, I was like, no, I'm getting this extra sleep hour because they take it away in the spring. Like, I'm getting that hour back.
Yeah.
And I got it. Oh, man, it felt good. It has enabled me to drink my ass off so far today. So here we go. It's still early in the day.
No.
I got to record. I got like 2 other podcasts to record after this one. It's a long Sunday fun day for me.
Hooray.
Speaking of which, shout out to Simi. Back to the Vox Populi. Drew, take it away.
I got an email from our homeboy Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
Pro tip. Bring headphones and blast loud music to trailers of movies you actually want to see. Star Wars/Black Panther.
Oh, true, yeah. The trailers give away so much, man.
Annihilation trailer. Ex Machina? Check. Oscar Isaac? Check. I'm in.
Okay.
Pacific Rim 2 trailer looks crazy good. Not a fan of the first one, but I have hopes for this one.
Interesting.
What Power Rangers should have been.
Did you like the Pacific Rim, the first one?
Yes.
I like the first one a lot. The sequel looks like shit.
You think the sequel looks like shit?
It does.
What do you think? Have you seen any of the trailers or anything?
I've seen one trailer. Looks good.
I think it looks okay.
It looks like they got more robots to either fight each other in the beginning and then at the end to fight
each other. Yeah.
Bigger monsters at the end.
Yeah. And then a younger cast, too.
With worse computer animation and a younger cast.
Well, you got to remember, so the animation, the effects aren't done. Those are the effects that are closest to as done as possible. We got to give them the benefit of the doubt, at the least on that. It is for kids, though. These movies are kids' movies. Especially this one. I think they're aiming for a younger teenage tween audience than they did more so than the original. So
you gotta sell Halloween costumes, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, and they can make some cool Halloween costumes. Imagine kids walk around cool like Jaeger outfits.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Actually, that'd be pretty dope. I would love to see that. All right.
Disaster Artist trailer.
Disaster Artist, the James Franco movie about the making of The Room. Have you ever seen The Room?
Yes.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. it's such a fun, over-the-top bad movie, right?
Looks deeper than just The Room documentary. I'll give it a try.
Okay, yeah.
Blade Runner 2049.
He saw Blade Runner 2049?
Finally able to hear the bonus episode, watched in a matinee theater by myself. These are some notes I wrote as I watched.
He wrote notes during the movie?
As he watched.
And then
we're
just going to read his notes?
Yes.
Have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
No.
All right, so these notes are going to make no sense to you, Marcus.
Overall, very cohesive with the original. The dialogue is something you have to follow to get the movie, much like the original. Beautifully gray and rainy. Three or four scenes, I said to myself, like tears in the rain. Mm-hmm. The music and sound is great. Whoever that hologram wife is, she is fine.
Anna de Armas.
Second bay to Gal Gadot. They brought back Origami Man. Hooray! Also Gosling and Jackets for the win. All his roles should require jackets. Child labor much? Faux Bill Sykes. Pinocchio. Imagineer. In real life, she's like the Matrix Oracle. Is that a threesome?
Yeah, it was.
Why did henchwoman cry at Madame? She also cried at the birth. Her character is interesting. Mm. Bees, colony, drones, clones.
Vegas.
Old man Ford punching is awesome.
These really are just his notes.
Get it, Indiana. No one of them landed. Is it real? Dog emoji. I don't know. Ask him.
That's a good line. That's a good line of dialogue, yeah.
Yeah. 3D music is dope and should be a thing. Come on, YouTube. The lighting of the confrontation scene is unprecedented and should be studied. Wow. Mesmerizing. White dove. White snow. Motherfucker! On the hook again! Ah! Touché, Denis. For the time being, shoots up the number one of the year.
Number one of the year for him, for Gabe. For people interested who have seen the movie and are interested in the making of it, the cinematography, because there is like some like next level cinematography in terms of integrating it with the special effects, yeah. Especially the scene he's talking about, the hologram yeah. scene, and the hologram stuff in general. If you go to Facebook, the Cinema Crespediso Facebook group, you can join the group, and you go back a couple of days, I posted a long form interview with the cinematographer, and they talk about, no, the editor, excuse me, the editor, and they talk about how the work that they put into
the all that stuff.
The amazing amount of work. It's ridiculous.
It's so beautiful. It's so worth it.
It's worth it. They put in so much work, and it comes across. It's a fantastic movie, and man, I don't think it's available. You're going to have to see it in dollar theaters now. No. Although, now, Blade Runner 2049 for $1?
Shit, I'll go see it 5 times.
We should the Altamont Theater, the picture show.
Yeah. Oh, there's one run.
Yeah, it's behind the Altamont Mall somewhere. It's like off to the side. It's Big Tim Murphy knows exactly where it is.
Hey, we'll have to go.
Hey, yeah. Hey baby. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly where it is. Hey. I used to go to the Colonial Promenade, but they closed that one down years ago.
And Thor Ragnarok.
You saw Thor Ragnarok. Here we go.
Very funny.
Yep.
Could see Guardians movie comparison because Waititi is just that kind of guy.
Waititi?
And it's kind of retro with the colors and music.
Yeah.
Wish the Hulk reveal wasn't ruined in the trailers. Non-comic book reader, because it would have been awesome. Protest trailers, guys.
That's the thing. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. So, you've seen the Thor trailers?
Yes.
Right? The marketing makes no bones about how Hulk is the champion. Thor has to fight him in an arena battle. This is a central piece of the marketing. But in the movie, watch the movie, it's built as a reveal. Like,
yeah.
They don't mention who Hulk is or who the champion is until Hulk bursts through. And he's like, oh, it's Hulk. So it's like, oh, it is kind of ruined. And all the characters don't know who it is, but the audience already does because of commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird thing. But obviously, they're going to sell it. They're going to sell Hulk.
Yeah.
They're not going to hide Hulk, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I get it.
Some parts they skip over, but overall, fun introduction to new characters. How do y'all feel about the Carl Urban character post-Vegas? I had a tug-the-collar feeling, especially since this is a superhero film. Too real, too current.
I was thinking about that, actually. Yeah, not only in Thor Ragnarok, but in Stranger Things 2. There are scenes where a heroic act is done with the use of an automatic weapon. Like, just a straight-up machine gun. And in both cases, it is Thor, where it's a lot of magical stuff. Magic hammers, magic blades, magic.
I mean, they're
and then someone saves the day with a straight up like AK-47 or I don't know guns, yeah, but yeah. like a just machine gun automatic equal down.
It's a fucking assault rifle.
It's an assault rifle, and yeah, it is weird. It's weird to see stuff like that in right. I don't know. I'm kind of. Am I anti-gun? Yeah, I'm anti-gun. Fuck the second
one. I'm not a gun nut either.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, what's wrong with you people? These are tools of destruction, and you're like, no, everyone should be able to have them. Yeah. So it's weird to see that in a Thor movie or in Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Thor, they're on another planet.
Yeah, but that one guy, he's like, I've been to Midgard a couple times.
Yeah, he says, I got these from Earth. I got these from Texas.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a funny joke. Yeah. They set it up as a funny joke, but then later it's used as a heroic moment. His automatic weapons anyway. Mm-hmm. So moving on with the Vox Populi.
And last but certainly not least, we've got an email from Scott.
What's up, our homie Scott? It's Scott, y'all.
Remember...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm not going to touch it, I swear. We're already at an hour and a half. We got to go. We got to keep it moving. You want me to hit one so you can go?
Remember when...
Yes, I love that. That's my favorite. No, I love that music so much.
All right, here we go. Scott, take it away.
Remember when Thor and Hulk were considered to be the weakest, or rather, the least interesting characters in the Avengers squad? Well, that shit's fucking over.
Yeah.
If everything wasn't planned already for Infinity War, Marvel would definitely be looking into spinning these two off into their own franchise. I could watch another five of these if they could lock in Waititi to direct them. Fucking A, what a fun movie this was.
For real.
Just fun, and funny, and beautiful. And awesome. So this is why I really don't fucking understand how the dudes in front of me in the theater kept getting up to go to the bathroom. I mean, what the fuck, guys? Are you not watching what's on the giant FOMAX screen in front of you? Are you not seeing these dope action sequences? These gorgeous color palettes? These epic screenshots? Are you not delighted by this lightning quick, pun intended, and quippy dialogue? Are you not hearing Immigrant Song and the perfect Mother's Boss score blaring from these speakers? That's Kate Blanchett on the screen.
Yeah.
Look at how fucking amazing she is. And Tessa Thompson. And Goldblum. And Rock Guy. These are just the sad characters, and every single one is fantastic. How can you possibly leave for even one goddamn minute? Seriously, are you not entertained? Ingrates.
Man, taking those people to task.
Ragnarok is going to be one of those go-to movies for me, probably for the rest of my life. If I'm having a bad day, I'm going to crack a beer, watch Ragnarok, and instantly feel better about myself and about life in general.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
If I'm channel surfing and it's on, no matter when I happen to catch it, it's going to be hooked to the very end. It's probably going to ruin some plans for me along the way, but I don't care. I simply can't not watch Ragnarok. I can't imagine ever growing tired of it. It's just too perfectly watchable. Needless to say, 4 stars. Oh, and with the Oscars having the up to 10 nominees rule for Best Picture, I hope Ragnarok gets serious look from the Academy.
Wow.
This is exactly the kind of movie for which they expanded the category. It's going to be one of the most popular, critically acclaimed, highest-grossing films of the year, and it's extremely well-made. And hell, since I brought it up, I also hope another gets a look, too. Though it's wildly unpopular, critically knocked, made no money, still a superb film worthy of the category, can you imagine a superhero movie and one of the most hated films of the year both nominated for Best Picture? Now that's an Oscars I'd stay up late to watch. Take care, guys. Scott.
Interesting observations there. Yes, first off, people are P.S. ingrates. Oh, P.S., I'm sorry.
I fucked up.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, and then sometimes my bunghole goes
I waited too long, and I was hoping Ragnarok would save me. It proved ultimately to be my undoing.
Oh, because he wants a theater jump?
Blade Runner was gone from my cinema this
week.
And even worse, there were 2 Christian-sploitation films taking residency.
What?
Yes, 2. But I really have only myself to blame. I'm a bad movie watcher. I'm a bad person. I need penance. I've already said 10 Hail Crespos and 37 Our Drewsters, but I still feel like an utter piece of shit. I even feel guilty that Ragnarok made me feel so happy. I shouldn't feel this good. Not after what I did. Who is Blade Runner, Chris?
Scott, you're a movie lover.
Hey, Miss Blade Runner.
Oh my god, if you don't find a dollar theater and see it in a second run theater, and even then, it's, man. Are second run theaters digital now?
We're going to have to revoke your Crespo card.
No, we're not going to revoke your Crespo card. What will happen is you will see this on your TV screen, or your computer, or your tablet. And then you'll be like, with your earbuds. You'll be like, how did I not see this in a movie theater? You're a movie fan. If you're a movie fan and you don't see Blade Runner in a movie theater, your heart, your soul will feel it. You know what I mean?
So, I do. Wait, Gosling's in a jacket? Like a nice jacket?
The dopest jacket. Can you see it down there?
That's over here.
Or over here? Behind me in the corner? It's hard to see.
I'll pull it up.
It's an awesome jacket.
I'm going to end up wanting to buy it.
Dude. I already want to.
Because
I bought the drive jacket. I drove, man. It didn't have my size.
I got drive gloves because of drive.
Yeah, I've got the jacket. I've got the jacket upstairs.
He's got the jacket because of his frame. He can rock over. Ryan Gosling jacket.
They're like, you got bitch tits. You can't rock this.
I couldn't wear one either. But we could wear the Blade Runner one though, because it's a trench coat.
Yeah,
and I've seen there are coats where the collar comes up kinda to cover the lower part of your face for like wind and stuff.
Yeah,
but the one in this one, it's like way bigger. It's almost like a bucket that's covering the bottom half of his face. It's Ryan Gosling, so he's got his hands in his pockets and he's walking slow and really cool and looking off to the side while he's doing, you know.
He's got his hands in his pockets because he got the drive gloves.
The drive gloves. He's like, I can't let him see my drive gloves because it's so cool. Man, Blade Runner is such a fun movie. Scott, you fucked up, Scott. See it in the second run theater. Drew is now showing Marcus
the
Blade Runner coat.
Yeah, it's a giant fucking just like futuristic trench coat with fucking fur on the inside.
With fur on the inside, but then you can flip up the collar and it protects your whole lower half of your face. Because in Blade Runner 2049, it's funny, right? So Ridley Scott made Blade Runner, which is set in L.A., but Ridley Scott is English.
Yeah.
In England, the oppressive weather is gray, rainy weather. So when you watch Blade Runner, it's always raining. Blade Runner 2049, done by Denis Villeneuve, who is French-Canadian. In Canada, the oppressive weather is snow and cold. So in Blade Runner 2049, it's always snowing and it's cold. Always cold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's walking around. Everything's gray and cold. And so everyone's wearing big coats and stuff. It's a lot of fun how the artists who make the same work in the same sandbox can still come up with different things based on their own personal experiences.
So the next Blade Runner will be directed from a guy in Florida, and it'll just be like rednecks and meth labs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, everything is so humid. Why am I? It's so sweaty. All the robots are sweating. they're all malfunctioning because it's too hot.
They're humid.
Global warming is here. That's the thing. So the next Blade Runner will be about global warming finally fucking everything up. So they got to get a Floridian filmmaker. Yeah. Whoever did he's not from Florida, but
Waterworld.
Moonlight. Waterworld, just go straight Waterworld.
Yeah, I mean,
so Kevin Costner, you mean get Kevin Costner to do it?
Yeah, he'll come back.
Fuck you.
Fuck it. He's not from Florida. All right, guys, movie news time. Here we go. It's time for the movie news segment, which means where is that button? Here we go.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right. Cinema Crespediso movie news segment, the most important segment in all of podcasting, because we talk about celebrity beach bods, those hot divorces, rape culture. Drew loves that rape culture. But of course, most importantly, we need a Justin Bieber update. Marcus, what's up with the Biebs?
What's up with the Biebs?
Yeah, what's up with the Biebs, man?
What's up with the Biebs?
Despacito. I don't know.
Despacito. Okay, here we go. That's your Justin Bieber
Didn't he have a beef with like Marilyn Manson recently?
He did have a bit of a beef, yes, but I think that's been squashed.
Okay.
And I also think he may be back with Selena Gomez, who just had a kidney transplant surgery due to complications from lupus.
Oh, man.
Oh, poor bitch has got lupus?
Poor bitch. That's right, Juice Cogburn, with the sympathy, with the empathy. Poor bitch has lupus. That's right,
that's
Drew.
A shame.
And she needed a kidney transplant. She got it.
Well, of course, because she's Selena Gomez.
But then she broke up with The Weeknd. But now reports are she's with Justin Bieber, who just took his previous girlfriend to meet his pastor. What's up with all that? It's a complicated world we live in, Marcus.
Oh, man.
And we're just here to report it. We're just here to make sense of it, right, Drew?
I mean...
Right, Drew?
Maybe.
Drew!
Yes.
Drew!
No. Give me the weirdest look.
If I was the Weeknd, I would literally just come into rooms with everybody's working for the Weeknd.
Working for me.
No, you guys work for me now.
You guys work for me.
Get to work.
That'd be the weirdest shakedown. Yeah. The Weeknd walks and plays that song. It's like, oh, now you guys work for me.
You guys work for me. That's the way this is done.
Okay, here we go. This Week in Rape Culture, Drusa Cogburn just... updating people real quick. Brett Ratner is in a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Rat Pack Entertainment. He has a few movies in the pipeline that are coming
out. Not
including, no, some of them, they're going to come out no matter what because they're huge movies like Ready Player One and shit like that.
Oh.
But Brett Ratner, his immediate involvement, he has been cut from Warner Brothers and immediate casualty of that, the Hugh Hefner biopic starring Jared Leto, which he was going to direct, is now officially on hold. The Hugh Hefner biopic not happening because some women say Brett Ratner rated them. You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking. And he's a piece of shit. No one likes him anyway. He's a weirdo, Brett Ratner. And he made X-Men The Last Stand. He should have been brought up on charges for that movie alone.
Yeah.
But now he's also raping women, so that's terrible. The Lion King. Are you a fan of The Lion King?
Yeah.
Right? Who isn't for the most part, right, Drew? I mean,
no,
even your black-hearted soul.
Yeah, Lion King's awesome.
Even your tarnished psyche,
mm-hmm.
that is...
I can still appreciate The Lion King.
No matter how depressed and dark you are and you look at the world through black shark eyes.
Yes. Yes, soulless black shark eyes.
You still like Timon and Pumbaa and Hakuna Matata and Elton John?
I mean, not a big fan of the Hakuna Matata stuff, but everything else, yeah.
Well, I guess you're just latching on to Jeremy Irons' Scar, throwing Mufasa into the...
Say it again.
Mufasa.
Say it again.
So, the full cast has been announced. They've announced part of the cast, but the full cast has been announced for Jon Favreau's live action, quotes live action, because it's all animated,
yeah.
Really. Looks live action. Remake of The Lion King. And let's go over them real quick, just to remind people what's going on. As we remember, Donald Glover is Simba.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember reporting on this before. Beyonce is Nala.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. James Earl Jones coming back for Mufasa.
Okay.
Jeremy Irons, though, not coming back for Scar. Which is weird. I think it would be because the only reason I can think of they didn't go for him as Scar for a legacy type thing, maybe they asked him and he's like, I'm not interested.
Okay.
I got money. I've done this already. Why would I want to redo something I've already done? He doesn't seem like the type of guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't chase commercial projects, Jeremy Irons. He has a weird career. He's like, I've done it already. Why would I want to do it again?
John McClane.
I've already been in Dead Ringers and The Lion King. Why would I want to be in The Lion King again? I'm working on it. It's getting a little better.
Come on.
The Lion Ringers. Maybe I'd be in The Lion Ringers. Can I be? I'd be two lions who mutilate women's vaginas.
Yes.
I'm working. It's getting a little better. Come on, guys. Cut me some slack. Instead, they got... to do Scar, they did get an actor that I like quite a bit. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
He's my homie, Chewy.
It's your boy Chewy.
Man, what's the most popular Chiwetel Ejiofor role?
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. Okay. Remember 12 Years a Slave?
Everybody remembers that.
He was the slave. He was the free man who was kidnapped and sold into slavery. He was also in 2012. He was in Doctor Strange. He was Mordor, Baron Mordor, who at the end he turns his back on all of them. He's like, I can't believe this. You guys, this is the world, you think? And I'm going to go be a bad guy now. So in Doctor Strange 2, he'll actually come back as the bad guy, Baron Mordor. So he's going to be the voice of, and I guess also doing the physical actions for Scar. Maybe, I think it's another thing too. There's a whole motion capture aspect, which I'm surprised they got James Earl Jones to agree to it. Maybe they're going to get someone else to play it. I don't know how it's gonna work out.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also got Who's Zazu? Do you remember who Zazu is?
Oh, the bird.
Is that the bird?
The bird. Yeah. Who? The bird. He was the assistant to the monkey elder.
Okay, that's John Oliver.
Yeah.
And the other non-black roles, Timon and Pumbaa. Well, I don't know if they're black roles, but non-black actors. Timon and Pumbaa go into Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. Which,
the Jew and the gay guy.
I will see anything with Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. If they did a My Little Ponies movie, if they were casting a little My Little Pony,
you would have seen it.
I would have seen it because I love Seth Rogen. I don't care if he's got a certain perception among people. I don't care. I like Seth Rogen. I love Billy Eichner. I'm in. Eric Andre is one of the hyenas.
Of course he is.
Which is hysterical.
He's probably the dumb one. Because if they're doing a straight-up remake of the Disney one,
yeah.
They had the... Remember the hyena had the fucking cross eyes and didn't say anything?
You think that's Eric Andre? That could be Keegan-Michael Key, though.
Could be.
Because he's another one of the hyenas. Keegan-Michael Key. And, I think they're nailing the cast. They're doing a great job. Alfre Woodard.
Whoopi Goldberg's not doing one of the hyenas?
No, Whoopi Goldberg is not coming back for one of the hyenas. No, instead it is... her name is Florence Kasumba, yeah. And you don't know the name, but if you look at her face, she's been in a bunch of stuff. She's right there between Eric Andre.
Oh, yeah, right? Okay.
Look at that face. Does she look really cute? Yeah, she's been in a whole bunch of stuff.
I think she's in Black Panther.
She is in Black Panther, yeah. She's in all those trailers for Black Panther, as a matter of fact. So she was also in, she appeared briefly in Civil War as well. So maybe that's where a lot of people recognize her. Directed by Jon Favreau, this movie will be coming out July 19, 2019. So still quite a ways off there. You missed. The garbage can's right there, but you missed, buddy. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's a trash studio. Fast and Furious Ride comes to Universal Orlando. It's in the earthquake spot.
Okay.
They got Ludacris to film some stuff for like scenes or whatever, and they're doing a whole like ride simulation where you're on a party bus, and it's every ride is the same at Universal Studios, where like you're in an attraction.
Hey Chris,
what,
you know who I bet they didn't get for that Fast and Furious thing?
Paul Walker.
Tyrese.
Oh, because no one cares about Tyrese, that's why. I thought you were making a Paul Walker joke.
No, that would be even funnier,
which
though.
Is funnier too, yeah. But it's Tyrese, because nobody gives a fuck about Tyrese. Tyrese is now on Instagram putting up pictures. First he went, Marcus, it's too long to catch you up on the whole Tyrese Fast and Furious feud. For people that have been paying attention, the latest thing he's been doing, posting pictures of group shots that include The Rock, but purposefully cutting out The Rock, cropping The Rock out of the picture, and then like hashtag cropped out or something. He is feuding with The Rock hardcore, man. It's crazy. No, at the Universal ride, they're doing an earthquake, and it's going to be opening, it's spring of 2018, and they're filming stuff with Ludacris, and, it's going to be like you're on a party bus, and you're just checking out their underground, garage that they have, but then, the Luke Evans character shows up, and he's like, oh man, we gotta, and Dominic Toretto's like, we gotta stop this guy, and then it becomes this whole, it's a mess, and goddamn,
I am a Groot.
Yeah, exactly. Rise of the Living Dead is coming. A prequel to Night of the Living Dead. Screenplay written by, to be directed by, the son of George Romero.
Okay.
So, it's George Romero's son continuing the franchise.
George Romero's son, does he have any sort of... I mean,
any
training in film,
credentials,
any anything, or is he just the son of George Romero? Because in which case, I don't give a fuck.
At this point, as far as I know, he's just the son of George Romero.
He's just okay. So he's So I don't give a fuck.
Drew Sikogwart officially not giving a fuck.
No fucks given.
Zero.
This is the Drew Sikogwart no fucks given.
Behold, my field of fucks, Chris.
Given. No fucks are given.
There's your field of fucks is barren, Drew.
It's barren, yes.
Zero fucks.
Zero fucks. That's your movie news segment. Marcus.
What's up?
That means it's time to wrap the show up. It's time to land this fucker.
Alright.
And we do that first with the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Right. Time for the lightning round.
Lightning round time. I hit my computer. That hit my hand. Okay, it's still recording. That's good. Lightning round time, Marcus. I have 10 questions, and I need you to give me answers as fast as you can.
Okay.
And we're going to learn a little bit about you. You ready?
All right, let's do this shit.
Start that clock.
Go.
Number one, if tricks are for kids, then magic is for...
Men children.
Number two, what's the highest you've ever been?
Brian Posehn at Back Booth.
Okay, I was thinking like elevation, but okay. Number three, have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube?
No.
Number four, are you a good swimmer?
No, I'm terrible.
Oh, interesting. Number five, have you ever been on TV?
Yes, I have.
Okay, number six, baths or showers?
Showers.
Number seven, have you ever flown a kite?
Yes.
Number eight, what is your favorite swear word?
Thick.
Number nine, Harry Potter, yay or nay?
Yay.
And number 10, would you rather get lost in a maze or stuck on a mountain?
In a maze.
Lost in a maze. Yeah. All right, there you go. Thank you very much, Marcus. Swag bag time. We have a red bag. We have a green bag. Which one of these two bags do you maybe want to go home with today?
Let me do green.
Green bag. Here we go, Drew. Let's break open that green bag and see what Marcus may get to go home with.
Sir, you got a 2-pack of plain spoons. It makes mealtimes more fun and encourages baby to eat.
Fuck go. Yeah.
Yeah, you can like open up the hanger.
We've got a Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles play pack grab and go. It's got 4 crayons, 25 stickers, and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
Nice.
We've got a Cinema Crespo Iso bootleg edition of The Adventures of Robin Hood and Behind Enemy Lines.
Fuck yeah. There love bootlegs.
Movies. Free movies.
And a 100-piece puzzle of a dude on a horse.
Fuck yeah.
100-piece puzzle of a dude on a horse. 100-piece puzzle of a dude on a horse.
Plethora of stickers in there.
Horse. Los Caballos.
I can't wait to eat ice cream with those spoons.
Exactly. So or, Marcus, we take that bag. We take this bag and we put it away. You don't see it again. And instead, you take what Juicy Cochran has in the box right over here. What's in the box? That's right. You have an option. You know what's in the bag. Or you take what might be in the box. It's up to you.
Normally, I'm not much of a risk taker. I'm going for the box!
Going for the box. Here we go, Marcus. Pop that top. Reach in there and let everyone know what is inside.
It's Louis C.K. jerking off.
It's Louis C.K. jerking off. You had to pay so much money for that.
That's expensive. That very time expensive. Chris.
To shrink them.
Hell yeah, I got fart candy.
Yeah! Fart candy!
What is it? Is it candy that makes you fart?
What does it say in the front there?
This says fart candy.
It says fart candy, and on the back it says,
"This candy's special ingredients will have your victims farting every time." Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're gonna give you the sugar shits.
There you go, sugar shit fart candy. There you go, Marcus. You gotta take home some fart candy.
Hell
sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Drew, make sure this guy gets some stickers as well, if you don't mind, so we can take some stickers home. Marcus, thank you for joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you.
We appreciate it, man. That was a lot of fun, dude. Drew, thank you very much as always.
Very welcome.
And everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you rate us and review us on iTunes. Break up the big bank, speak excellent to each other, read more books, free Mumia Abu-Jamal. The NFL is trash. Fuck the NFL owners. But support the players who choose to kneel. Man, that's all fucked up. Guys, we love you. We'll be back next week with more Cinema Crespo Iso.
A PFT Media production.